This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Jonathan Hood on assignment. We still got me, Gabe Nutz. I'm from ESPN Milwaukee, from ESPN West Palm. He is Brian Rowitz. We got Full Gear coming up this weekend. Weekend after that, we have Survivor Series War Games, which on the Friday before, we're going to get a traditional Survivor Series match. We've gone away from that inside. Doesn't matter.
They had a show for that. That would make sense.
Yeah, that had the name Survivor Series in it. But, you know, there's only so much you can do.
I guess.
But that's where we start, is WWE. Because right now, their main event scene, you start taking a look at the world champions within the space. Three of the four world champions are going to be involved in War Games. Both on the men's side, just one of them over on the women's side. But if you had to use one word to describe Brian, or I guess a phrase of words, finish the sentence. The WWE main event scene is
repetitive. Like, I think we talked about it last week when it comes to War Games, which is supposed to be this big blow off and this big emotional moment and stories. And it's sort of like, ah, crap, we got to find 10 guys to throw in here. Oh, I got an idea. Brock and Roman. We've never done that before. And that's what we're getting next week in San Diego is Brock and Roman again. And it just feels like it's so repetitive.
We haven't gotten Brock inside War Games, though, have we?
No.
At least that's a new wrinkle.
Sure, but it's still Brock and Roman. Like,
I understand. Yeah, look, and I understand. Like, I saw the one, there was a social media post going around with all the Roman Reigns returns, like from SmackDown and Raw, like all the different graphics. Roman Reigns returns. Well, yeah, because he, like, just kind of comes and goes out of our lives so much. And I'm sure you could probably do the same thing for Brock.
They don't make stars. Like, it's just baffling when you have this whole roster, when you have all these resources, when you have all these hours of television, and yet it's the same stuff over and over again in the main event.
Yeah. I would say it's, convoluted might be the best word. Cause again, like, you don't have a good enough story on the men's side, for War Games that you just decided, like, I mean, again, you had, I guess, parts of a faction because the faction broke up. So you had two, right? Like, so at least on the other side, you had two starting out and Punk wants to go to war with them, which makes sense. But then you're adding Cody and Jay and Jimmy. And why would Roman join that team? Just because Jay and Jimmy are there? Like, he obviously doesn't like Punk. Him and Cody, I guess him and Cody are fine.
Yeah, I guess.
Ish. Again, that whole thing is convoluted. And because you don't have a better story, this is something we've talked about in terms of Cody Rhodes, you don't have any better story to tell with Cody as world champion that you just throw him into the War Games match because reasons, right? Like, the men's side is just so just convoluted. And on the women's side, I guess it's not much better over there for the War Games match on the women's side because you have two, you know, one tag team in the Kabuki Warriors who had been kind of terrorizing EO, so that makes sense why Rhea is there. But they also wanted to go after the tag team titles, so then Charlotte and Alexa get it.
You have two random stories, because even the Nia and Lash versus Charlotte, like, that was sort of thrown together. At least you're
Lash debuted, like, 2 weeks ago.
It's like, hey, you're in the main event scene. Like, the women's side, I give them a little bit more credit. Like, we have Jade as a champion. We saw Naomi as a champion before she got pregnant. Like, there's more effort there in terms of making stars. Even Tiffy. Like, Tiffy is a young star that they made into a champion. That just doesn't exist on the men's side.
Well, and again, with the Jade stuff, I think they realize there's limitations there.
Yes.
But they know to play away from it. Like, giving her a mic for 10 minutes, bad idea. Her coming out there saying, hey, I'm that bitch. Yeah, I'm in. Like, you just sold yourself as this badass. And then it wasn't so much a squash match. But there was very little offense from her opponent, from B-Fab, on SmackDown on Friday night. Like, oh, okay, so she's going to be a dominant champion. Like, she is just this badass, and they're going to lean into that. And that I can get behind that, at her as the WWE Women's Champion. I like that part. At least the tag team titles on the women's side are actually visible.
Sure,
you're actually building some sort of story around them because that is kind of at the heart of this. I don't know. Yeah. AJ Lee being there is going to be fun, but doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense.
Yeah, at all. I guess if Becky ends up in it also, we're assuming.
I don't know. That's like the other thing. I don't know who on the heel side that they're going to do. Becky makes the most sense.
Right. If AJ's on the face side, you put Becky on the heel side, and at least there's something there.
Yeah, but again, AJ, Becky, that's a feud that doesn't need a championship, and they took the championship off of Becky, right? So, and that's kind of a main event level feud. So at least on the women's side, it kind of makes more sense. On the men's side, it's just kind of a mess. Like the heel team and the face team, I guess that's just a part of War Games. It's a part of Survivor Series that the infighting could be.
Yeah, I guess like the infighting becomes a thing, but like I'm trying to look at like the 10 guys in this match and say, all right, what is the matchup that comes out of it? You're like, all right, I'm excited about that. All I come up with is like, if you do Bronson or Braun versus Punk for the title, but I don't know if they're ready to do that yet.
Well, you could do Bronson, because I don't know if they see Bronson as, which I think they're wrong, if they don't look at him as a future world champion, because I think he was initially put into that group as the guy that was going to take the pinfalls, right? He is the guy that's going to lose while they have Seth, who's their current champion, and then they're still continuing to build up Bron Breakker. But man, that tsunami is just so good. Like, it's just so good. And he has a great look, a great attitude. Like, I hope that's not the case. I hope they see him as future world championship material, but clearly he's not going to be world champ before Braun. So I guess you could do Bronson, but why would Braun, as the one who held the championship, be okay with Bronson getting that opportunity before him?
But that's WWE logic. I mean, Bronson was in a title match Friday against Cody, and then they just jumped Cody and ended the match on a DQ because it's the only way they know how to end WWE matches. Like, logic-wise, like, wait, why not try and help him win the title? Like, why are we getting a disqualification here? So, like, at least there's that. You talk about the infighting, Jay turning heel, and then you get some fresh storylines out of that.
But, like, who's he going to face? Punk?
Punk, Roman.
Like, we've already seen, I guess, I mean, we've seen Jay Roman. And Jay Roman with Jay as the babyface is just a lot more intriguing to me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, hey, he got away from the family. Now he's trying to, you know, take them down as, you know, just kind of flipping the roles there, I don't think necessarily does anything for me.
Yeah, that's it. Like, what else is there? Like, Cody and Paul, we've seen. Cody and Drew, we've seen. Cody and Brock, we've seen. Cody versus Braun, I guess, is an option, even though they're on opposite shows. Like,
oh, that, especially after, and I know we're going to touch on this later. Once we get past the first of the year and we go back to 3 hours for SmackDown, all bets are off, man. You got time to fill. It doesn't matter what show you're on. We got to fill those 3 hours no matter what, Brian. So,
that's what video packages are for. You know, that's the WWE style.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Cody, I don't know, Roman Punk? Does that do anything for you?
But that seems like a Mania match.
But that's the problem. Like, they've built everything up where it only feels like so many things. Like John Cena had some pretty good matches back in the day that weren't a part of WrestleMania or Survivor Series. You know, like, you can have those big time matchups outside of WrestleMania. Because again, I feel like
weird spot, and I think part of it is that, like, yes, Cena's had those awesome matches back in the day, but also the way the title, like, title changes don't happen outside of the big shows now.
No.
Like, you know what's going to happen in those matches, and that sort of, I think, adds to the redundancy of it.
I mean, the only reason that we had a world championship match where somebody was crowned was because Seth got hurt, like, outside of one of the big shows. That's the reason why they had that on Saturday night's main events. Like, that's the only reason. And now by the neither championship is being defended at Survivor Series because they have to both be in War Games. Again, because reasons, I don't know.
Because they have nothing else for them to do. Like, there would have been no harm in Cody being a part of this match and Drew being the champion. And Drew defending against someone next Saturday.
Yeah.
That would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. I'd argue it makes more sense.
Yes.
You know, like Cody's just like licking his wounds and like, oh, I just want to participate in this match because I want to get my hands on someone. Like, it's just, I think it can make more sense. Because again, the only part that actually, now that Roman's involved as well, I guess Roman and Punk teaming up to try to go against Heyman, I understand that Seth, he can't be there, right? Like he's doing Good Morning Football now. He's a part of the NFL Network team. I think
he's at Netflix at Christmas also. I think he's part of that broadcast.
Yes. Hey, look, man, like good for him.
Yeah.
Good for, I think we know it's some people going to Hollywood after. I think we know what Seth is going to do when the career is over. You know, good for him for getting those reps in while he's got the shoulder injury. But like at the heart of that feud, like Paul Heyman's the driving force behind Roman being pissed and CM Punk being pissed. So even though Seth isn't there, those two being the odd couple teaming up to get their revenge on Paul Heyman makes sense.
Right.
But it makes more sense if you bring in Roman earlier and not as the last piece.
Right.
Because he came in and the way there was a video that WWE put up on their socials that was not part of Raw, but was, you know, video after Raw of Punk and Roman face to face of, hey, you better not screw me. Right. Oh, I don't stab in the back. I do, you know, I'm big enough where I can do it in the front. Good confrontation, but like, I thought this was Punk's team. Like, it seemed like it was Punk's team, and now presumably the Usos did the recruiting to bring in Roman.
So what's interesting is I saw Cody share this morning an image on Instagram. I didn't know if it was specific for him. It was the match graphic. It was the poster. On the heel team, front and center is Brock. Like, Brock is the center one there. On the face team, it's Cody. So, like, I don't know. Yeah, and here it is. Triple H sent it 4 hours ago. Like, it's Brock and it's Cody are the centerpieces of those images. Which, I don't know what that says about everyone.
Like, the center of that should be Braun, right?
Yeah.
For the heel team? Because they're the ones that started this whole thing.
And also, Brock's not going to have anything to do after this. Like, we've seen what Brock does. Like, the last time we saw him, he beat Cena, and there's zero follow-up to that. Like, he's going to come do his thing, hit suplexes. He's not going to eat a pin or surrender in War Games. And then we're not going to see him again, probably till the Saudi Rumble. Like, why does him being the centerpiece make sense at all?
I mean, him being on that team actually does make sense because of the Heyman connection. Yeah. Right? Like, so again, it's not a leap to get there of, hey, we're kind of a pain in the ass to deal with because Paul's here. Who are we going to get to be our fifth? Oh, turns out Paul Heyman knows somebody. Like, that makes sense. Him being the center of the poster does not. Same thing with Cody. That's not Cody's team. That's Punk's team. Like, they came to help Punk. Like, Cody has no squabble with literally any of those people. In fact, the last time we saw Cody go head-to-head with Brock Lesnar, Lesnar was raising his arm at the end of the match.
Right. And with the Drew standpoint, like, Cody just keeps beating Drew, so there's really no beef there anymore.
No. The beef only goes one way there.
Right.
Beef only goes one way. Like, Cody should be happy to see Drew, because he just kicks his ass every time.
Packers Bears in your world. Like, the Packers, no one ever played them. Like, it's a rivalry, but is it?
But, and again, I feel like it was convoluted on the women's side to do Blood and Guts, where you just kind of threw all these people together. At least on the men's side, you were able to do like one side is one team, right? Yep. And the way that they had built up the Death Riders, like they had hands all over the place. So it made sense for the conglomeration to come together with Darby and have this unified team trying to take down the Death Riders. And this is, again, sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't when you decide to shoehorn yourself into these matches. You just, like, honestly, it feels like the Survivor Series match that's going to take place, not this Friday, but the next Friday in San Diego, like, that almost makes more sense than the War Games match at this point. But
so
I digress.
Weird.
The main event scene, I think, is convoluted. But that's the way it kind of gets at this time of year for WWE. Like, when they're all going up against football consistently, it just kind of seems like they're not at their best. Like, they can, but they'll ratchet it up. And once we hit January and start that build toward the Rumble and then start that road to WrestleMania, it seems like they typically figure these things out. It's just they drift aimlessly from October through December.
But you mentioned the Rumble. Is there someone right now that you look at and say, like, okay, this would be a good story, them winning the Rumble and then main eventing Mania?
Braun.
Okay. I'm fine with that. But
I think that should be – What's that?
Do you believe they would do it, though?
I mean, I don't know who else you do it with.
Right. That's
like, and it makes perfect sense because he's somebody that obviously is under the skin of his general manager on his show.
Yep.
His general manager doesn't want to give out those opportunities because, but easy way to give yourself that opportunity is to go out and win the Rumble.
Right. I think that's fair.
And him winning the Rumble, like, there's just nobody else on that roster I think winning the Rumble does anything for. Like, Logan Paul winning the Rumble doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
I mean, unless maybe, again, I was intrigued to see if they would try to do something with Jimmy, since Jimmy's on his own, and they really haven't done anything. Like, not, and again, I think that could be cool. Like, Jay wins it, then Jimmy wins it the next year. But they haven't really done anything over the last couple of months to building, to make me think that Jimmy would be a legitimate contender 2 months from now.
I agree. And just looking at the roster, like, Dominic, that feels too fast. There, it's slim pickings.
Yeah, I mean, Punk's already champion. You know, if Punk wasn't already champion, yeah, I would say Punk would make sense in order for him to get another main event shot and get a champ at the championship. But when, he's already now world champion.
I don't know Rollins' timeline.
That's the thing. Gunther?
But he was just in a title match of Mania.
Yeah.
But I guess, but
like, Gunther to win it, but Gunther to win it to go after the other one. Gunther to win it to go after Cody.
I'd be fine with that, especially if Gunther were going down the path of him ending Cena at Saturday Night's main event, then winning a Rumble. Like, that's progression. That's building. I'd be on board with that.
Even though he's a world champion before, like, again, like, you're hitting those steps and like, you're making him bigger.
Right.
I would say Braun would be my favorite. And then, yeah, Gunther's probably the second right now.
It's not a lot to choose from.
No. Although, again, I'm curious to see what they do with, I guess, the now John Cena's Saturday night's main event. since they're doing, like, from all reports, they were all happy with Javon Evans. And I'm guessing that he's going to be a part of that showcase that they do of NXT talent. Not that Javon Evans is going to enter the Rumble and win the Rumble.
Right.
But knowing the WWE, like, Joe Hendry is going to win the Royal Rumble. Like,
that, yeah, I can see that with them. You never know.
All right, we could talk about this forever, Brian, in terms of the WWE main event scene. Let's dive into something else. The three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. What do we have at number one this week?
Well, speaking of the champion, CM Punk, Jay Hood's not with us today, but he left us with a gift because yesterday on Cap and Jay Hood in the morning, they chatted with the champion, CM Punk, and this is their conversation on ESPN 1000.
CM Punk, five-time WWE World Champion.
Punk with another GTS, collapses into the cover. CM Punk is the World Heavyweight Champion.
CM Punk, winner of Money in the Bank ladder match in 2008 and 2009, making him its only back-to-back winner. And named Superstar of the Year at the Slammy Awards.
It is about vindication.
Chi-Town's own CM Punk. With Cap'n Jay Hood, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app as we go to the Yingling Hotline. The Elimination Chamber takes place Saturday, February 28th at the United Center in Chicago. It marks the first WWE Premium Live event to be held at the UC in more than three decades. And we are pleased to be joined by the WWE World's Heavyweight Champion, Chicago's own CM Punk. Joins us here on Cap'n Jay Hood. Punk, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing awesome, my guy. I got to talk Chicago sports with you. We've got the Bears.
What's up?
But my guy, first place Bears. Cubs made it two rounds into the playoffs. Blackhawks winning record. Bulls winning record. We're finally seeing a little bit of a sports renaissance, aren't we?
A little bit, but nobody's going to be happy until we're winning, you know? Like, it's good to be in first place, but it's still early, especially for basketball and hockey.
Well, you're the pinnacle of it because now you're the world heavyweight champion. So you're the start of all of this. And so how great is it for WWE to return to the United Center, a place where in your last appearance there made grown men cry while eating CM Punk ice cream bars?
Yeah, we're going to try to do that again February 28th. No, honestly, it's super special to me because Rosemont Horizon is its own, you know, planet. It's a special place. WrestleMania 2 was there. Hart Austin, WrestleMania 13 was there. But the United Center, you know, it's in the heart of the city. You can get there super easy with public transportation. It's Chicago proper. It's just a special place. I mean, and the last time we did a huge event there was 1994. So I'm looking forward to coming back.
Punk, you and I hosted the Blackhawks parade, and I believe it was the Cubs parade. What is the most special moment for you as a Chicago sports fan? 85 Bears, 2016 Cubs, those Blackhawks championships. What is it?
I mean, it's got to be Cubs because they had such a long drought and they were the lovable losers and nobody thought they were going to win and they were cursed and yada, yada, yada. So 2016 Cubs. And that team was very special. And it went to a game 7 in Cleveland, and there was the rain out and, you know, ninth inning heroics. You can't beat that moment.
CM Punk, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, with us on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. Elimination Chamber, Saturday, February 28th. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at Ticketmaster.com on November 20th. John Cena's last matches in his career. You've been on the road with John Cena watching this. You just got through, you know, a great show at Madison Square Garden. Part of this final run, Punk, what has it meant to you? And what does it mean for wrestling for Cena to go through this in his final stages as a wrestler?
You know, I think wrestlers are a little bit unlike any other kind of sports celebrity. You know, like retirement for a baseball player or a football player or a hockey player is more oftentimes than not like permanent. You know, for wrestlers, we all say, oh, I'm retiring. I was gone for, you know, 7 years, 10 years from the WWE. So for Cena to say that he's hanging him up just gives the fans a chance to say goodbye. I thought it was kind of brilliant, you know, like they released all his dates, where he was going to be, when he was going to be. And it's kind of cathartic, you know, like we had this year long farewell tour for John because he's meant so much to this company and this business. It's been, to me, a highlight just being around him, you know, to watch him kind of bow out with such grace. It's been important for the company. And I think the fans see that.
Is there been a night you've had going out, whether it's with other wrestlers, other athletes, where you're like, okay, dude, let me tell you the story of this night, hanging out, because you're legendary. You went UFC. You've been so good in the community. I once got a young child Make-A-Wish, mm-hmm. wanted to get him to tap out. And the family brought, the kid was like 5, mm-hmm. and came up. And he said, in. He was in the middle of training, in, bring the kid up. And it made this kid's day to be able to do that with him. But there had to be a legendary night where you're out with whoever. Who was it? What'd you do?
Oh, I mean, that second Hawks Cup victory in 2013 was pretty special. I can't remember where we were. I had a bet with Cena, our famous $1 bet, because he's from Boston. So it was, I think it was game 5 or 6. I can't remember exactly. And we were live doing Monday Night Raw when the Hawks scored those 2 goals in 17 seconds and they won the cup in Boston. And I started getting texts from players right away, like, hey, you're coming out with us. We're partying, yada, yada, yada. So I flew home. And that next day, like, I met them at Harry Carey's, like, off of Randolph Street. And I traveled the city with them just on a bus. And it was chaos. I can't really talk about details because Statue of Limitations still hasn't run out yet. But it was for sure a wild night.
Elimination Chamber, Saturday, February 28th. Tickets for the United Center show is tomorrow. Ticketmaster.com is where you go. CM Punk joins us here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show. Punk, how different does this run feel, being the World Heavyweight Champion? How does it feel compared to the last time you were on top as WWE Champion?
I mean, for me, you know, like I jokingly said on the microphone a couple of months ago that, you know, me and Cena are on the same path. I just didn't announce that I'm retiring, and I have no intention to, but I'm realistic about it. I'm 47 years old, and I know all this stuff is fleeting. So I try to, every appearance I have on television, every time I wrestle, I play it like it's my last game. You know, and I don't know what the future holds. You know, here I am now. I'm holding the strap. I'm the champ. I didn't expect that to happen, but I'm just really more present in my career nowadays than I ever have been. It's a cutthroat business, and there's competition left, right, and center. And now I don't really feel all those pressures. I know who I am. I know what I've done. I have the history and the track records to back everything up that I say. So I'm really just kind of enjoying this run. It sounds kind of corny and kind of cheesy, but I know someday all this is going to be over. So I'm really trying to squeeze everything I can out of this run. And it's been special. And honestly, it's been the privilege and the time of my life.
So, maybe you're just in it. You don't see it the way we see it on the other side of the railing. But just from my standpoint as a punk fan that's watched you since the indies, there's a certain sparkle in your eye and an ease that you have versus maybe a year or two ago. Do you feel like there's a little bit more of an ease, like even an enjoyment of what you're doing now than you had before?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes, 100%. Because like I said, all of us, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You wake up, get hit by a bus. You know, this world is... It is what it is, and I'm literally just trying to enjoy all of it. And, you know, I'm certainly not lacking confidence. Like, I know who I am, and I just kind of tune out all the noise, and, like, I'm here to put on a show and have a good time and really enjoy those good times with the fans.
You know, I did not know, Hoodie told me this, that you have a Pepsi tattoo. Tell me the origin of that, because I am a late tattoo guy in my life. I've had them for, many years now. Yeah. I got 8 of them, and they all have special meaning to me. But the Pepsi one has meaning to you, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. So tattoos, obviously, like any kind of art, super subjective. You know, like people will look at that and be like, oh, that's a stupid tattoo. And I see that perspective. Yes, I have a Pepsi tattoo. Yes, it's stupid. But the reason I have a Pepsi tattoo, I'm straight edge. I don't drink. I don't smoke. It's a subculture started by a DC, punk hardcore band in the early 80s called Minor Threat. And the guitarist from Minor Threat had a Coca-Cola tattoo. And I would be in detention in eighth grade or high school reading the Maximum Rock and Roll zine. And Brian Baker did an interview, and the interviewer asked him why he had a Pepsi or why he had a Coca-Cola tattoo. And he said, I like Coca-Cola. And I, as a young, impressionable kid, I was like, that's great. You get tattoos for yourself. You don't get them for anybody else. So anybody else's opinion about my tattoos are kind of mute. To me, it represents me being drug free, being straight edge, and doing what I want for me. It's not really, this is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to.
Lastly, Punk, and I appreciate your time. So the white whale of comic books or graphic novels that you'd love to own, what is that one that you wish that you had? Because you notice I had the question, it's graphic novel or comic book. It's like Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. You got to be careful with that, right?
Right.
How you say it. So that's why I use both, Punk. So that one that you wish that you owned.
Oh, God, I don't know. You know, I recently just saw somebody found a Superman #1 in somebody's attic, and it's in pretty damn near mint condition. I think it got graded like a 9.0, and that thing's currently on auction. I think it's up to like almost $7 or $8 million.
Oh, my God.
So I have a pretty decent collection. I try to get like the tent pole stuff. I have like first appearance of Thor, first appearance of Cap, first appearance of Iron Man. The condition of the books, I'm not really concerned about. To me, it's more about the cover art and stuff. I really like collecting really old pre-comic book code EC horror books. So my white whale, oh, God. I don't know. It's probably too obscure, but I do have a pretty sweet first appearance of Dr. Doom that I kind of cherish because that cover is super cool. That's Superman #1. I mean, I'm not spending $8 million on a comic book because I enjoy being married to my lovely wife. But that would probably be up there, you know? Like Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, those are iconic characters. If you can get your hands on any kind of, you know, number one from those guys, I think that would probably be my white whale.
My guy, always been a big fan, then getting to know you even better. Ran into him at like 6 a.m. He's getting off a flight in O'Hare, and I'm leaving to go on vacation. I'm like, oh! Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing because you represent our city with class and yourself with class.
I will always do that, and I appreciate you, Cap. Thank you very much. Hopefully I'll see you soon.
You got to look forward to it. We got to grab a dinner.
Yep, we will.
There he is, CM Punk. World champ!
And don't forget, Elimination Chamber emanates from the United Center for the first time in almost 30 years. Jeez. And again, tickets for that are on sale tomorrow at Ticketmaster.com.
And CM Punk, ESPN 1000 earlier this week. Again, every time they do go there, like, Rosemont is the place to go. I watched a Raw at Rosemont. I watched Brock Lesnar tear the door off of a car and almost chuck it into the crowd. about a decade ago. That was like 2016. Because they always go to Rosemont. That's where they go. They go to Rosemont. So for them to actually be in the city is a pretty big deal, I think, for Elimination Chamber coming up in early 2026.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And every time you get to hear from Punk, and he just seems happy right now. So pretty cool to see that.
That's why the heel turn for Punk in WWE, it's going to hit hard. Because he seems so happy. Everybody wants to cheer him. That heel turn, whenever it comes, because you know it is, it is going to hit hard. What do we got number two this week?
All right, they talked about John Cena and the farewell tour and the big tournament. A couple surprises in it this week. Friday night on SmackDown, the return of Zack Ryder. Monday night Raw in the Garden. Dolph Ziggler makes his return. Which one was better this week, Dolph or Ryder?
Whew. First and foremost, before I answer the question, would have killed them to have one of these guys just win a match.
1,000% agree. Like, what are we doing?
Like, they don't have to, like, if we're going to have surprises, then let's have some upsets in this thing. Let's make it really fun along the way. Like, the final match doesn't have to be Dolph or Zach, but just win a match.
Just one match. Them, Evans, like, all these surprise guys. It's like, oh, they're not winning? Like, it's just so WWE because it's like, well, they're not our guys, so we can't let them go over. But, like, they are. Like, that wasn't Matt Cardona. That wasn't Nick Nemeth. Those were your guys. Let them win a match.
Yeah. And, I mean, for me personally, the better return was Dolph. Because I have always been a huge Dolph Ziggler fan of his in-ring work, of his microphone work, injuries. I mean, his cash-in on Alberto Del Rio is still one of the top five cash-ins to me of all time. When the crowd pop when he cashes in and wins on that Raw after Mania was spectacular. Unfortunately, he had some injuries there. But then I thought, since we're at Survivor Series, when he was the sole survivor, goes over Triple A. Like, I thought that, okay, here we go. We're going to get that Dolph Ziggler push here. And then they just did nothing with it. It kind of fused out. The dude still is one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yep.
He bumped and sold his ass off for Solo Sikoa. Like, I have never, like, I mean, I'm telling you right now that Solo should just retire the Samoan Spike because no one's going to sell it the way that Dolph just did. Dolph died. Like, literally, Dolph Ziggler, that's probably the last time we see Dolph Ziggler, the character. I'm guessing it's just going to be Nick Nemeth from here on out because he's starting to get up there in age too and has other interests outside of professional wrestling with his comedy career and everything. But that literally might have been the actual death of Dolph Ziggler because that's the way he sold that Samoan Spike. So personally for me, it was Dolph, but I thought, I mean, these were kind of the two that you assumed that were going to come back for this tournament, you know, because Zach, obviously, Matt Cardona is on the independence, has openly said he wants to come back. Dolph currently works as Nick Nemeth, obviously, for TNA. So you have the relationship there. These were the two that made sense as those two random wild cards. My wish is that just one. Even if it was Zach over my guy Dolph, like, I just wish one of them would have won a match.
I completely agree. And, like, LA Knight, like, he takes enough losses. So, like, him losing wouldn't have been a big deal. Solo losing, like, who cares? You've buried him enough. Like, him losing would have been just fine. I agree, though, with Monday. And I don't know if it was the Garden or whatever, but that pop was loud.
The Garden
was loud.
The Garden was hot on Monday, yes. Man. The Garden was feeling it. That so was, like, yeah.
When that hit and to hear that pop, that was pretty awesome. And the reports are Cardona's not fully re-signed. Like, they put some merch up because WWE is not going to miss an opportunity to make a few extra dollars.
Well, and neither is he. Like, he is as smart of a businessman that exists, right? Like,
right.
I mean, he grinds his ass off in the independents and makes a lot of money with the merch, with doing everything that he does. You know, we've kind of taken some strays from commentary, you know, while he was doing his match, you know. Thought that was a little unnecessary from Wade Barrett. Oh, no, it was Corey. Yeah, it was Corey making fun of him for playing with action figures. Yes, that was Corey on Friday night. So, but they both were great and they looked fantastic. Like, they got their stuff in. Both are among, you know, the highest level of professionals when it comes to this. They did the job, but man, just having one of them, even if you'd rode one to the finals, like, the crowd would have been so behind. And then I'm just picturing in my head Dolph versus Gunther.
Yeah.
And Dolph just selling his ass off to make Gunther look that much better. Like, I honestly don't think you're going to better final. No, because they're not. Because unfortunately, Hunter's the exact same as Vince. Not our guy, can't go over.
I saw a quote going around, and I don't know where it's from. It was probably from Busted Open. But Nick Nemeth said, like, oh, he was told back in the day when he was Dolph, like, hey, don't sell like that, because then that's all you're going to do. It's like, well, no, like, we want everyone selling like that. That shouldn't be, you know, negative, where it's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that because it'd be held against you. Like, it's just baffling to hear something like that.
Yeah. You're making your opponents look better.
Right.
And again, he's a really good technical wrestler on top of it. So, like, when your buddy HBK was selling, like, well,
right.
I mean, not against Hogan. You know, Hogan, but yes. You know, but when he was regular selling for all the other matches that he did, like, nobody had a problem with it, right? Like, I just don't understand.
Like, some of the flair bumps, like the fall down on your face, like, that's something that's good. That's good for wrestling. That makes everyone better. And, like, that's just what Dolph does. Like, that is the best Solo has looked in a long time, and it's because of Dolph.
Because of Dolph. It's 100% because of Dolph Ziggler. Like,
so.
But somehow they don't see that. I don't know. Like, and you can't make him see it.
So, okay, I guess congrats for Mike.
Yeah, I mean,
Cardona.
It did get the pop, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with Cardona. I do think he's very important to the indie just atmosphere and everything that is, but, you know, he needs to pass that torch on also.
Yeah, and I know, Cody's podcast where Kevin Owens had mentioned, you know, for a guy who's the supposed king of the indies, he talks about wanting to come back to WWE an awful lot. And look, I get it. Like, yeah. I think he would, but either one of these guys coming back, and again, I don't think it is happening, but we just talked about how, you know, they just kind of need a little bit of a shakeup on the men's side. On the women's side, you're starting to see that, right? Like, you've got some different and unique champions. But on the men's side, they could use a shakeup. Even if it is an older character like this, just something a little bit different to kind of shake things up, I don't think would be a bad thing.
Especially also from the writer's standpoint. Like, if you're not bringing him back as Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder was not a main event guy. So pushing him to the main event is something that's fresh. Like you mentioned with Dolph, there were some title runs and then injuries cut those short. So that would be different. That would be something like, oh, we haven't seen Zack Ryder in a world title picture. But it just doesn't seem like something they see or agree with.
But I feel like if he were to come back on a full-time basis, he would be Matt Cardona.
I think
at least he would want to be Matt Cardona.
But I don't know if they would let him.
Because they think there's more money behind Zack Ryder?
No, because they think Matt Cardona is something someone else created, so they don't want a part of it.
Well, Matt Cardona is who he is.
Yes, but the character of Matt Cardona is not a WWE creation, and they're very much like, well, no, we don't want any part of that. Like, Punk comes back as Punk. Cody comes back as Cody because they created that in their eyes. I guess Jade, I guess that's one. They let her come in as Jade, and that was an AEW creation. They can't really take credit for that.
No, okay, and obviously in NXT, they changed...
Ricky?
They changed his name, but not really. Okay. I guess again, it still starts with an S. You know, Mariah May is now Blake Monroe.
Correct.
You know, they
KO. Those are all WWE creations. according to them.
Well, I mean, Sammy wasn't wrestling anywhere before.
Oh, yeah, good point. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, Sammy just came up. I don't know who. I don't know. I'd never seen anybody like that, you know, in any promotion. Yeah, just came right. Showed up at the PC one day, and nobody knows where he came from. Nobody absolutely knows where he came from. What is number three this week, Brian?
All right, in the world of AEW, Saturday night in New Jersey, it is Full Gear 2025. So let's call your shot now. We'll talk matches of the week later on. What's going to be the match of the night, Saturday night at Full Gear?
Okay, so Full Gear, it is a full card.
Yeah.
Four pre-show matches, so we'll just skip over those, unless you want to talk about Boom and Doom going up against Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta.
I mean, anytime you get Big Boom in there, it's a big moment. They're going to get clicks there.
So on the main card, we have the two world championship matches, just Stat versus Monet as a straight-up women's match. Hangman versus Samoa Joe in a steel cage.
Before you won, have,
yep.
Which one of those is the main event?
If Mercedes is winning, Mercedes instead.
Okay, so we could see our first women's main event this weekend.
Yeah, if Mercedes is winning, but I honestly don't know. I don't know who's winning that match.
I don't either.
because they just put it on Stat.
Right.
Right. Like they just got it to Stat and. So it's kind of a toss-up, which is fun. Which is fun. But I'm guessing because it's inside of a steel cage, I'm guessing it's Hangman and Joe.
Sure, that's fine.
Brodito versus FTR for the World Tag Team Championships. Kenny Omega teaming with the Jurassic Express, taking on the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander, where the winners receive $1 million cash prize. The Casino Gauntlet match for the inaugural AEW National Championship. Kyle Fletcher taking on Mark Briscoe in a no DQ match, where if Briscoe loses, he will be forced to join the Don Callis family for the TNT Championship. Darby versus Pac, Mox versus Kyle O'Reilly, and then a convoluted four-way tag match featuring the four teams that are left in the AEW Women's World Tag Team Championship, where all four are going to be participating. Right. Whoever wins gets to decide a stipulation for their upcoming semifinal match.
Right. But then just that semifinal match will have a stipulation. The other one will not.
I believe so.
Okay.
That's just kind of like got thrown together last night, and they didn't really talk about it after they announced it. So
why couldn't we have worked it to where, I don't know, maybe the finals were Saturday?
Or just have the two semifinals.
Or, yes, I'm...
Like, yeah. I would have been cool with just having the two semifinal matches a part of this instead of this convoluted four-way. Like, that just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's that.
You just can't... I mean, sometimes TK just can't help himself.
Can't win them all.
I am going to say that the Million Dollar Trios match is one that... Because I think we're going to have a moment of the Young Bucks reuniting with Kenny.
Okay. I think that's fair.
And I think that A, it's going to be a tremendous match. So I think the in-ring stuff is going to be fantastic. And then whenever you get that moment of the Young Bucks turning their back on the Don Callis family, because they didn't, they never gave their answer last night, never gave the answer whether or not they were joining the Don Callis family. I think them turning their backs on the Don Callis family, teaming up with Kenny Omega in the fight against the Callis family, I think that is going to be quite a moment of the three of those three guys reuniting once again as the Elite. And then we are going to be hearing Carry On My Wayward Son blaring through our speakers on Wednesday nights once again.
That will be impressive. For me, I'm going to the tag title match. Like, Brodito is always going to deliver. FTR is always going to deliver. Now we're going to put them together and we're going to put the titles on the line. I assume FTR is winning the belts. And, you know, we're going to change the direction in the tag team division. But, like, that division that they've put so much into over the last few months, those four, I could see that being the opening match of the night and just tearing the house down from the jump and saying, all right, here's the bar, go clear it. Because that's what those four do when they're in the ring.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just not ready for Brodito to be done.
Yeah, well, I'm fine with it. Yeah, I agree.
But if we're being honest, I mean, it was a tag team that was thrown together on a whim.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense. It's been fun. They've been fantastic for each other. Like, if you start digging any deeper than surface level, the tag team doesn't make any sense.
Well, have you heard the story about how they were put together? I believe it was on Hey EW where Brody told the story.
Yeah, like they've got a handshake because they're friends. Tony saw it, and they're like, oh, hey, let's do this on TV.
Yeah, that works.
Pro wrestling, baby. That's showbiz. That's showbiz, baby.
That's all it takes. Right, right time, right handshake.
But again, but the crowd has been so behind Brody King for so long. Like, it just made sense. And I'm hoping that they can start building Brody for some sort of singles run for one of the 7,000 singles championships that they now have in AEW. Maybe, you know, if they break up, like, I think Brody King would be a heck of a Continental Champion. Like, once you do the Continental Classic, I think he would be somebody that you would lean on having the good matches throughout the Continental Classic and then being one of the final four guys when we get to that towards World's End.
100% agree with that. I also would be okay, like, the Casino Gauntlet, like, we know it's Shelton and Bobby to start things off. That match, I feel like in the past, is usually built on surprises, and you don't know who's going to come out. I don't know if there's a lot of people in the back where it's like, oh, we haven't seen this person in a while. Let Brody go win the title that night. Do double duty. Just open the night, lose the tag title, and then enter the Casino Gauntlet. That would get a pop, because if you don't have the surprise, Brody would get the pop because of the way the fans are behind him, and let him win this illustrious national title.
On that match, I thought that this was subtle. And again, with TK, so you never know. But if it was on purpose, I really liked it, because the opening match last night with Ricochet and Bobby Lashley for that number one spot, it ended very quickly, which I don't have a problem with, because it's just kind of a reminder of, hey, this is a Casino Gauntlet. Whoever gets that pinfall, this is why you want the number one spot, because before more bodies come in, if you score that pinfall quickly, the way that Bobby Lashley did last night, then all of a sudden we don't need those surprise. Like, those guys don't have that opportunity because you got the pinfall. So it's a little bit of a different match. It's a creation of AEW and TK of the Casino Gauntlet, match itself. So I thought it was a nice little reminder of, oh, this is why you wanted to be first in the gauntlet, because once you get that first pinfall or submission, that's it. You're the champ.
Yeah. And then also to that point, when Shelton was out there, MVP talking about how Shelton plays with his food and doesn't win. The Casino Gauntlet, I love the format. I love the creation, especially in pro wrestling where we don't see a lot of new stuff and new innovations. Mm-hmm. Like in the WWE world, Elimination Chamber and Money in the Bank, which has been over a decade since those were created. Like, this was our first creation in a long time.
And what's the one they do in NXT? The Iron...
Survivor?
Iron Survivor, I think. Yeah, the one that... Because didn't HBK come up with that? Yeah, it's very convoluted. Yeah, it's very, very convoluted.
I've seen it, I liked it, but I don't remember what the hell it's about and how it works.
That's the problem, right? Like, this is what you have to do to come up with something new in professional wrestling in terms of matches in 2025. But yeah, I like that idea, and it will have a chance to absolutely deliver.
Iron Survivor, it's a 25-minute, five-person match, and it's Iron Man rules. So it's a five-way, and the most pinfalls in those 25 minutes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that works also. That's cool.
Yeah. So again, it's just a little bit of just a little twist on an old classic that everybody has the tendency to know. Like Hangman Joe inside of a cage is going to be really good.
Of course. Again, Darby and Pac will do things that humans shouldn't do.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Kyle O'Reilly beat Mox.
I found it interesting that they're running that back. I feel like Mox is going to win.
But then that just completely cuts the legs out from everything they've built up with Kyle the last couple months.
Yeah, I understand. And I just, I don't know. Like, I like Kyle O'Reilly, but the way they've kind of built him up, I don't know if he's maybe he wins again.
Yeah, because that would be a big moment for him.
Oh, without a doubt. If he taps out Mox again. And I think that obviously continues the downfall of Jon Moxley.
Right.
Within the Death Riders specifically. Because maybe Mox can get kicked out of that group and finally take that vacation.
Maybe. It's a few years waiting. He's accumulated a few years. I hope they have rollovers in AEW on vacation.
I hope he gets to carry it over.
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, it's an AEW pay-per-view. The only thing that I'm not particularly excited for is the women's four-way tag team match.
Yeah. That makes no sense.
I'm sure it'll be fine, but, like, it just doesn't make a sense. It just feels like it just got shoehorned in there because, like, oh, we have this tag team tournament on. Oh, but we don't want to have any of the matches on the pay-per-view. We want to do those on free TV, so let's do a Fatal 4-Way. Yeah.
Sure. Like, all right.
So yeah, that's
AEW pay-per-view, so it'll be an outstanding time Saturday night.
Yeah, so should have a good one there for AEW. What do we got in news and notes this week?
All right, it was announced this week, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, the new class, 8 members joining it. Some of the current days that you've seen, CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, and Sabu among the 8 names that made the class. Punk just missed the cut last year. Some others that missed the cut this year, Junkyard Dog, Jesse Ventura, Ted Turner, Gorilla Monsoon, and the Briscoes.
How is Jesse Ventura not in this thing already?
Yeah,
I guess I don't know how they do it for them. Like, how is Sabu? Like, how is he just finally getting in now?
And the weird thing is, if you look at it, like, they track the ballots, he wasn't even close last year. Literally, because he passed away, everyone's like, oh, yeah, we should put him in. It's like, that's very odd. Jay Hood does vote on it.
Okay.
So that is cool. But Cody, I mean, quite a change for him to be a Hall of Famer and then go here.
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess you main event WrestleMania a few years in a row and you get in. I mean, Punk makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, why?
He's another one that's surprising not in yet.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, with everything he did and, like, building up and even, like, the WWE stuff was good. Like, Cody not being in makes sense. The WWE stuff was so bad and then creating AEW.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like Punk would have been in faster.
Again, I guess I just don't understand because Sabu is still hanging out there. So who knows on any given year?
Good
like
point.
Flip a coin.
Yeah, so you have that going for you. Elsewhere, WrestleVotes reporting that January 2nd, SmackDown returns to 3 hours on the USA Network. No confirmation from the WWE or USA just yet. As a reminder, last year we opened 2025. As SmackDown being a 3-hour show on July 4th, it went back to 2 hours. So hopefully this one's even shorter lived.
Well, that's got to be written into the contract, right?
Yes.
Like, because it's what they did last year. It looks like that's what they're going to do again this year. I don't know why they go 3 hours until the middle of the summer and then switch back. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that TKO has made painfully obvious, they're not going to do anything for free. Like, they're not going to give you an extra hour of television unless they're being compensated for it. So my guess is that their television contract with USA just must be written like this.
I guess it just doesn't make sense for them to do 3 hours when we talked about what a drag that show has been. But real quick, going back to the Observer Hall of Fame, Jay Hood's votes, the Modern Performers, he had the Steiner Brothers, Nash and Hall, excuse me, which surprising that those two are not in just yet. Yeah, Bill Dundee, he also put Sabu, and then the non-wrestlers, Jesse Ventura, Ted Turner, Gorilla Monsoon. So basically everyone that just missed was on Hood's ballot. So
like what? What the hell's going on with this thing? How are all in Nash not in?
Yeah, that's baffling.
Wait, you just put in Punk and right. Hall and Nash are just sitting there?
The Bucks got in last year. Yeah.
But look. The Bucks are fantastic.
Yes.
The Bucks should be in.
Yes.
Hall and Nash should have been in the decades ago.
That's how the calendar works. Yes, Hall and Nash are not doing that in 2025. Like, they should be in there.
Okay, then. Like literally one of the most, like, viral moments before going viral was a thing.
Yeah.
When they showed up on WCW. Like, how are we, what are we doing?
Yeah, that is a little odd.
All right, we'll grill next week, yes. By the way, which will be a special Tuesday episode.
Right.
But next week, we have to grill Jay Hood about, hey, what's going on with your brethren? Because obviously Hood's voting the right way. Hood's doing the right things,
uh-huh.
Which is not a shock to anybody. But what is his contemporaries doing?
I can, definitely agree there. Elsewhere news and notes, Soraya talking with Toronto Sun says she is getting the wrestling bug again. She plans to start training again in January. She also added that Natty has reached out to her about training at the Dungeon. She has not wrestled since her AEW contract expired back in March.
Man. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Can she get in shape? Nah, probably not for the Rumble. If you haven't wrestled in that long, can you get in shape that quickly for the Rumble?
I mean, if it's not a long Rumble run, then yes. Hit a finisher, take a bump, hide out in the corner, fall over the top rope. Mission accomplished.
Do we want to see her in WWE again?
No. Will we? Yes.
Okay. Like, I want to see her again because I think she's fantastic. I don't know what happened at the end of her run in AEW, why that kind of fell apart the way it did. And obviously, I mean, she was on here on our show. You can check it out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. I mean, she talked about when her book came out, like, no ill will, you know, towards AEW or Tony Khan. It seemed like it was such a big signing. And then she had the big win in Wembley, and it all just kind of fizzled from there, which I thought was just kind of weird because she's somebody to me who has that it factor, where your eyes are just drawn to her when she's on the television screen. So I just feel like she'd kind of get lost in the shuffle and Triple H would not book her correctly.
Right. Especially when we see, like, I feel like some of the mid-carders are making names for themselves, like Chelsea Green, Becky, AJ, like they're doing that on themselves. I don't know if she would get the time to shine. And it feels like it would just be what we saw at the end of AEW.
How dare you leave out our new Intercontinental Champion in Maxine Dupri?
Yes, Maxine as well. Yes, doing a great job.
Which was a fantastic match, by the way.
It was awesome. It is star-making. So at least the women's division can do it. Finally, news and notes. We talked about it earlier. The Continental Classic coming up. And it will start next week, Wednesday, on Dynamite. Okada won last year. Eddie Kingston won the inaugural one back in 2023. And now we are 6 days away from the 2025 version.
It's one of my favorite things that AEW does. It usually provides us with, again, it just makes the match of the week segment just very, very easy because they just put on just, hey, what are we going to do in December? I'll just put on a bunch of bangers. Like, if people tune in, they tune in. It's the holidays. They got things going on. But we're going to put on a bunch of bangers. And if they want to watch, that's what we got going on over here in AEW in the month of December. So I love that they do this. It's an easy thing to be able to follow. And it usually results in very, very good matches.
And star making. Like, I feel like part of Fletcher's rise was in this facing Ospreay. Because if I remember correctly, that was the semifinal, and then later in that night, it was Okada versus Ospreay, which as I say that out loud, I think I was in the building for that one. I believe that was in Orlando last year in December, so glad I got to take that in.
Look, we got a lot of things going on. We got a lot of things going on. Sometimes.
2024.
It was in Orlando, yes.
How about that? Great show. Glad I could be there.
Is that it for news and notes?
That's it for news and notes.
All right. What do you got from what are your matches of the week?
Let's go Monday Night Raw, Javon Evans and Gunther. Nice to see.
Oh my goodness. And Javon, like, and Javon's like young. He's like what, 21 or 22?
Oh yeah. Definitely sticks out in the WWE with that age.
He sticks out anywhere with that age. Like, to be that young and seemingly get the business, like every report I saw, like Cena's high on him, WWE, like everyone's going to be high on this kid. And hopefully by the age of 25, we're seeing him as like a young world champion in WWE.
Let him, like Saturday Night's Main Event, they keep talking about the exhibitions, like NXT versus WWE talent. Let him win a match. Give me him and Penta at Saturday Night's Main Event and let him win.
Ooh.
Like, why not?
Say less. Say less, man. God, especially like a veteran like Penta, who you know is just going to make the kid look awesome.
Yes, it wouldn't hurt Penta. It would make Evans look that much more special. Like, it'd be perfect. So, also WWE World SmackDown on Friday, Dragunov versus Axiom.
Oh, that was a really good match. But my only problem with Dragunov is he can't call it the U.S. Open anymore. It's now the U.S. Invitational. It's the U.S. Invitational.
That's a good point. Yeah, if he's calling
You can't keep turning down the Opie. Yeah. Somebody, it's up to me to defend it with somebody else who has honor. No, now you're putting, that's no longer an open. That's open means anybody. If you want to make it the U.S. Invitational, that's fine. But you can't call it the U.S. Open anymore because you have turned down multiple open challenges. So no, it's got to be the U.S. Invitational. Even though, you're right, that match was very good.
And then the last one I had last night, Dynamite, Shelton and Speedball. That Shelton spot where he broke out of the submission and just threw Speedball in the air, that was very impressive.
Last night, so the only one I think I would add is last night, the trios match that they did last night with Alexander and the Young Bucks.
You forget Top Flight is so good. I know the injury bug has bit them.
Yeah.
Like, those guys can go, and we've seen them do that before.
Well, and then you just put him with a great veteran like Scorpio Sky, who you know is also good. You're in really good hands with, and yeah, it's just gonna lead to some really good wrestling in the middle of the card.
I will say just my right one issue with the Shelton Speedball, despite it being a great match, was the botched finish, the non-three count, and then MVP getting in the ring because the match is over, but the ref is like, no, actually, I didn't count three for some reason. That was weird.
That was strange.
Yes.
That was like, what are we doing here?
Uh-huh.
What did you think of Red Velvet and Mercedes?
It was good. I mean, it's what you get from Mercedes. Red Velvet doesn't do it for me for whatever reason.
Okay.
But I mean, Mercedes, like, if you're an indie company, you need to fork over whatever the money is, have Mercedes come to your company and win your belt. Like, there's no harm in it. Like, let it be on TV and let her say, like, hey, I'm the put three letters together champion. Like, that's good marketing. I think it'd be money well spent if you're an indie promoter out there. Because she's at, what, 12 or 13 belts now?
I think she's at 13.
Okay.
Because she didn't add to her count last night because that was unifying because she already had the interim. So now she, like, instead of the interim, she's just, like, the regular ROH Women's TV champ.
Weekend. I don't
she did, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, good for her.
Yeah. Again, your belt gets to be on TV. People are going to look into it. Like, and maybe I'm wrong. And maybe she won't do the job for all 13 companies, like, giving up those championships.
Sure.
But I kind of feel like she's going to. She's just going to I don't feel like she's just going to go, hey, I'm going to relinquish all these championships. I think that once she loses the first one, she's going to go on an epic losing streak. But, like,
and that's,
I think,
a great
she's
story. Like,
yes.
She loses a stat on Saturday. That starts the downfall, and it almost becomes Toni Storm-esque, where, like, the crash out. But, like, losing every single belt one by one and, like, just having one that she's holding on to, like, that's a good story.
Yeah. Like, her, like, holding on by a thread and just clutching to whatever the last one is for dear life on AEW television, I think would be a fantastic story. But, again, that's the way I hope that all kind of goes. And I think she's going to do that because deep down, even though she's got these Hollywood aspirations, she's a wrestling sicko.
Yes.
Like, that's the only reason you're doing it. Because she doesn't need to do any of this.
Yeah.
But she's doing it because she's a wrestling sicko. Did you see what happened to the backstage area, like, all fell over? Cause, like, she tripped over, like, cause they had a couple of big video screens and then it's just kind of a curtained off area in, like, a gymnasium somewhere. And I think it was one of the gentlemen that was walking out with one of her 13 championships that, like, the thing got caught on his foot and then the entire, like, backstage area comes crumbling and, oh, there she is. And now she's just going to come out now. It's just hilarious.
Whatever it takes.
Because she's a wrestling sicko. She's going to gymnasiums to win championships and displaying all of her championships every time she goes out. It's fantastic. If you want to check out everything, we mentioned some of the other past interviews that we've done. Check them out. YouTube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Comment, subscribe. Everything we got going on YouTube. Do you want to know it again? Special episode next Tuesday, with it being the holiday. We're not going to be doing the show on Thursday since that is Thanksgiving. So Tuesday, we will have our reactions to Full Gear, our preview for WWE and War Games Survivor Series. That's going to be coming Tuesday instead of Thursday. So make sure you check us out. And then, you know, if you've got the podcast, you can listen to us wherever you're going for the holidays on Thursday. But we're going to do that next week, Tuesday, right here on GKW.